Hello, I'm Kimberly Cronick, Director of Community Content and Engagement at Illinois Public Media. During our Clear the Air pledge drive, I encourage you to support WILL and help keep strong local content on the air. Thanks to your past support, we're able to bring you great shows like Focus, Afternoon Magazine, Live and Local, and our award-winning local news. We absolutely could not provide this content without your help. So, if you like the idea of a public radio station seeking out issues important to local communities, and if you like the idea of a radio station working to strengthen the value we bring to you, please consider a donation now. And during this special drive, our staff will keep providing you with strong local programming so you don't have to worry about our typical pledge interruptions.
To lend your support to our Clear the Air campaign, call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org right now. Again, that's 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
And you're tuned to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. Nice special program for you today, I think. Coming up live in our studio, Ann Hampton Calloway, who was Tony-nominated Broadway singer, champion of the Great American Songbook, songwriter, pianist, all kinds of things going on in her life. She's going to be joining Liz Calloway, her sister, also star of Broadway and elsewhere, in a show called Boom at the Krannert Center in Urbana Wednesday through Friday, and Ann will be in the studio with us live. But first, we have feature on the Sound of Illinois Barbershop Chorus presenting their annual show on Saturday at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts.
Come celebrate the sound.
It's a sound celebration. For over 70 years, the Sound of Illinois Chorus has promoted music and harmony in our schools, community, state, and country. Whether you attend our annual shows or you're a first-time listener, we are glad to call you a friend. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. The Sound of Illinois.
The song is called Sound Celebration, and it was sung by the Sound of Illinois Barbershop Chorus, who are going to present their 71st annual show at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday. Two performances at 2 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. And they're calling it this year Barber Tunes. We'll find out why from the show chairman and also past president of the organization, Doug Ferrier, who's on the phone with me right now. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Barber Tunes, meaning?
Barber Tunes, those favorite cartoons that you woke up early on a Saturday morning to go watch, from Spider-Man to Woody Woodpecker, all the way up to The Simpsons, and even some of the Animaniacs. We have a little bit of music from each one of those cartoons. And then on our second half, it's going to be all Disney.
All Disney. That sounds like a lot of fun. How long have you been a barbershopper?
Well, I'm sort of a newbie when it comes to barbershop. I have been in the Sound of Illinois Chorus for 12 years, although when I was in high school, I was invited by the guys up in Bloomington to go ahead and come down and sing with them for a couple shows in the summertime. So I've been around barbershopping for quite some time, but only a member for 12 years.
And what kind of singing, assuming you were doing singing before that, figured in your life?
I did. I was in the boy choir, the Singing Wire Boy Choir in Bloomington, Illinois, in my elementary school years, sang in high school, played in the band also, but and went off to Augustana College and sang in the choir there, and eventually made it back to Bloomington, Illinois, and there was something missing in my life, and I needed a little bit of harmony, and that's where the chorus came in, and a great group of guys from age 10 on up to age 85. It's a multi-generational organization, and a lot of fun to boot.
You actually have kids that young involved in the chorus?
We do. We had a Christmas thing this past December, and we had three young men that were under the age of 15. They were grandsons and sons of our chorus members, and so we had, with one family, we had three generations all singing next to one another.
That's fantastic. I know that from having been involved a bit with Barbershop myself some years ago, that it's a challenge in many areas for Barbershop choruses to attract younger people. How did you get drawn in, and then how does the chorus go about trying to draw in young people to its midst?
That is a fantastic question, and it's a question that many chapters still struggle with today. But in if you think about where we are right now with a cappella harmony being on the television three or four nights a week, shows like Glee and The Voice, a cappella harmony there at the University of Illinois also, it has such a strong presence. And people are aware of what a cappella is, and when they hear good a cappella, it's a natural draw. People want to be a part of that and feel that sound and be in that sound. So where did I get my start? Well, it was actually running around in my socks at my mother's Sweet Adeline chorus rehearsal. She and a bunch of crazy ladies would get together every Tuesday night to sing, and so we didn't have a babysitter. I sat on the edge, and I would hum along to the high tenors and the leads in the women's organization before my voice changed. And so it's always sort of been a part of me. But trying to get that new blood in, well, that's been a challenge for us as well. However, the good news is, when you have that product, when you're doing things, especially Disney music on our Barbertune show coming up, people say, "You're doing Disney? Where did you get the music? Can I be a part of that? Can I sing?" And it's a natural draw with the music that we're singing also.
Well, let's hear an example of the cartoon, some of the cartoon music. This is actually a cartoon medley that I think is going to open your show. And it's not the chorus singing. It's not even a quartet singing, really. It's one of your, assistant directors or something?
It's our assistant director, Tim Beidle. And this is one of the ways that we learn music. You can sight read, but it also helps to have some people singing for you. And so this is the way that we learned our music. But just imagine this with a 70-voice chorus behind it.
Overture curtain lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing or nursing a part, we know every part by heart. Overture curtain lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Sound of Illinois would like to take you back on a little memory trip. Remember back in the old days when you used to watch some of those classic cartoons? We would like to bring some of those old memories back for you now. So sit back and relax as the Sound of Illinois brings you some of our favorite cartoon tunes.
And oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it. Roadrunner, the coyote is after you. Roadrunner, if he catches you, you're through.
That coyote's really a crazy clown. When can he learn that he never can slow him down?
Poor little roadrunner never bothers anyone. Running down the road is the idea of having fun. Roadrunner, the coyote's after you. Roadrunner, if he catches you, you're through.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're a modern Stone Age family. From
town of Bedrock. They're a page right out of history. Let's ride with the family down the street through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. When you're with the Flintstones, have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A yabba-doo time. We'll have a gay old time.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
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 Underdog. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder.
Underdog.
Underdog. Underdog.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
A cartoon medley. No doubt you recognized some of that. It's going to open the 71st annual show that's being called Barber Tunes by the Sound of Illinois Chorus, based in Bloomington Normal. Your guest quartet, which choruses often have on their annual show, called After Hours, placed third in among the International Collegiate Quartets in 2011, and was a two-time international finalist, and they're from around here.
You got that right. We really are proud of those boys. They were all graduates from Bradley University, just up the road from the University of Illinois, and they were all in music together, and they wanted to have an opportunity to sing and be able to sing on an international stage. They came to our Illinois district contest, and they won, and they were able to represent the state of Illinois, and they represented them very well. The three of the members are still in Central Illinois, and their fourth member is actually from Minneapolis. All four of them are music majors. They also have some conducting in their education career, but they all have a passion for singing, and can they do it well? They're all in their 20s. They sing everything from that barbershop chord to some non-traditional things like Burt Bacharach's type of tunes, some jazz tunes. These guys are fun to listen to. And by the way, you might think of straw hats and the pinstripe suits with barbershop music. Not these guys. These guys are they have their nice neckties on, but they don't do the corny jokes. They actually do magic. So if you're interested in magic, you got to come see these guys.
Magic as in magicians.
Oh, as in illusions. It's a good time.
That sounds like a great twist to a show. Well, let's give a listen to the quartet called After Hours. And you mentioned this tune. This is called Play That Barbershop Chord.
Now, here's a little story, and I heard it firsthand. All about the famous chord that we think is grand. Back before the sound resounded over the land, of how its renown began. Yeah, the story is true, I'll tell it to you. Down in a smoky rascaller where a honky-tonk feller by the name of Bill Jefferson, Lord,
played piano
while he'd sing a song.
He just sang
and played the whole night long until one night a beautiful lady they call Sensual Sadie heard him playing that barbershop chord. When he finished, Sadie drew a sigh every time that she would catch his eye. She'd cry. Mr. Jefferson, Lord, play that barbershop chord, play that barbershop chord. That soothing harmony, it makes an awful and awful and awful hit with me. Play that
string,
won't you play me that string, just to please me again, just to please me again. Cause Mr.
Dot,
I feel your fingers slipping and a grip in my heart. Oh Lord, barbershop chord. Play that barbershop chord.
Would you play me that chord?
The barbershop chord.
From that night she never rested. That same tune she requested every time she went into that place.
Just as soon as she sat down,
she roared.
She roared. Stick like a plaster to my new music master, for I surely go off of my pace when I hear that chord. You see,
don't you see,
there's no other harmony for me. Mr. Jefferson, Lord, Lord, Lord.
After Hours, the name of the barbershop quartet singing Play That Barbershop Chord. They're going to be the guests on the concerts on Saturday by the Sound of Illinois Chorus at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at 2 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. My guest this portion of Live and Local has been their show director, Doug Ferrier. Support for our show today comes in part from the Prairie Ensemble, presenting their next concert for winds, brass, and percussion on Sunday, February 24th at 7:30 p.m. at Holy Cross Church in Champaign. The program features Handel's music for the Royal Fireworks and Stravinsky's Mass with special guests, Prairie Voices. Details are at 355-9077 or prairieensemble.org. Stay tuned next for a conversation with Ann Hampton Calloway, live in our studio.
When you're down and troubled,
always call and I'll be there. Yes, I will.
Now, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can be so cold?
You've Got a Friend is the name of the song, Carole King's song, and that is in a performance by Ann Hampton Calloway and Liz Calloway from a CD that is called Boom, Live at Birdland. And in fact, the show that they are bringing to the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight through Friday is also called Boom. Both Ann and Liz, stars of stage and screen, I guess you could say. Both have made their mark on Broadway, and Ann in particular had a focus certainly lately on the Great American Songbook. This particular album from which that music comes focuses on unforgettable songs, as they say, from the 60s and 70s. And their show starts tonight at 7:30 at the Krannert Center. Ann Hampton Calloway is live with us here on Live and Local, right in our studio on FM 90.9. Thanks very much for coming in.
It's great to be here.
You just kind of rolled in last night, I guess.
Yes, literally.
And just sort of on your way to a sound check for tonight's concert. So I really appreciate your coming in and spending a little time. You've made as much of a name for yourself as a songwriter as a song singer, It seems to me. Barbara Streisand, maybe as notable as any, a lot of songs for her. In fact, you have a show that you're
right,
touring.
Right, I'm touring. Actually, I'm on tour, and when I leave Champaign-Urbana, I'm going to start my Boston Pops tour down the East Coast, hitting 12 cities. And I've been having a wonderful time going around the country celebrating. It's called the Streisand Songbook, and I love focusing on parts of music, putting a special intelligent look and portrait of a time or an artist or a period or a genre, and really delving into it. And so it's a lot of fun. And in fact, it's also interesting that Liz and I have both had wonderful experiences with Barbara and me as a songwriter. And I've also written patter for her. And Liz was her stand-in in two of her live tours. She actually was asked to learn Barbara's songs and be there to sing and do her patter and staging so that Barbara could see and make sure that everything looked good and sounded good and made sense as a director. And so it's wonderful to have this, have been inspired by Barbara, and then to have these interesting relationships with her as an artist.
Is that something that's commonly done, or you have a stand-in?
No, I wish I had a stand-in, an Ann-in. That would really be funny.
An Ann-in?
Well, Would you like to do that? I mean, you're tall.
No, I wouldn't do that very well at all. So, I mean, when you said stand in, I was thinking, oh, in case she gets sick, somebody stands in. That wouldn't go over well.
Can you imagine the audience if, like, the part of Barbara Streisand usually played by Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
No, but she had some great times recently doing the latest tour, I didn't know until I was researching my show that Barbara sold 11 million copies of the CD that my first song I wrote for her was on at the same time. And it's been an incredible honor to do her work and to have her songs sung. And I love writing. In fact, the songwriters that we're featuring in Boom this week are many of the people who inspired me to be the songwriter that I am and taught me a lot about telling stories and finding something personal and finding a way of sharing a story that comes out of my heart and my experience. And it was a very powerful time and new kinds of ideas that songwriters were coming up with. There was more playfulness in certain ways and there was more poetry in certain ways. And what's fun about this show, I think, is that Liz shows, she was always more drawn to the fun songs and I was more drawn to the introspective songs. So it's a very nice match of different sides of that great time of music.
Does that say something about your personalities as well?
Oh, definitely, yes. We couldn't be more different as sisters. I'm tall, she's shorter, I'm brunette, she's blonde. I think I have a moonlit voice and I think she has a sunlit voice. And I think, but when you put us together, it's almost that the parts are more than the whole is more than the parts. And there's this beautiful sound that comes together from having that family blend. And I just love singing with Liz. She's an amazing artist and a great sister. We happen to be best friends. So I think that's one of the things that people love when they come to the show is this, to see two sisters who've made it through all the rivalry and revelry and have gotten much closer through the years. And that's something to celebrate.
What was the rivalry like?
Well,
I mean,
you
just implied there was one.
I remember Liz walking around the house saying, "I'm bored." I'm like, "How could you be bored? Life is so interesting." You know, I didn't understand her and she didn't understand me. She makes fun of me on the show about my passion for Joni Mitchell. And, you know, I think that's what most siblings do. We just we don't quite understand people who aren't exactly like who we are until we grow up a little bit. And it's ironic that this is where I went to college and
University of Illinois.
I
had not known until you mentioned that right before we opened
up
the
microphone. Well, that's because I'm not a graduate. I was here for 2 years as an acting major, and Liz came and visited me, and we were kind of tense. Our parents had divorced, and there was a lot of tumultuous energy in our childhood. So when she got here and we did some alcohol bonding, it was the beginning of our close friendship. And so it's wonderful to be here after all these years. Back at the place. And last night at O'Hare, during our connection, we celebrated by having some margaritas. And that was the silliness began. And it's going to continue this week.
When did you discover you could write songs?
Well, I actually remember the first little jingle I made up when I was 3 years old. I don't know why I remember this, but I always liked to make things up. It was a very silly little song. And then I got a guitar when I was 10 years old. And I remember thinking, oh, I want to be the fifth Beatle. And I started writing these interesting little songs on my guitar and in my attic and trying to, you know, express these, you know, serious thoughts that a young girl had. And then when I was 16, I really started listening to all these great songwriters and learning a lot more about songwriting and studying what they did. And I've been singing my own songs since I moved to New York. Actually, I think my first professional job was here in Champaign-Urbana at the top of the Holiday Inn. There was some circular place that spun around. I don't know if it's still here.
Oh, no, it's gone.
And Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who is a wonderful film actress, she went to school with me, and Jan Horvath, who's a Broadway actress, singer. We were all in school together, and they were there for that first gig.
Good class.
Yeah, it was a very good class. Yeah.
And when did somebody first tell you, if you remember, that you could write good songs?
That's an interesting question. I think I got encouraged at different points in my life. And what was funny, though, is that I didn't seem to fit in. When Broadway people would hear my theater songs, they thought they were too pop. And when pop people would hear my pop songs, they thought they were too theatrical. And I think that's when you know you're becoming yourself, because when you don't fit in, it means you're original and you're doing something that brings different parts of yourself together. So it wasn't until I became more successful as a singer that I was able to get my own songs out there more. And I feel very grateful that, you know, getting to write the theme to The Nanny, the TV show that Liz and I sang on, and the many things I've written for Barbara. Recently I did a show in New York of all my original songs and had such a wonderful ovation from the audience. And I realized I have never done a whole album of my original material. It's time for me to do that.
What would be your guess at the song that you have written that people would be most surprised to know that you wrote it?
I don't think people all realize that I wrote Barbara's wedding song, Barbara Streisand's wedding song. And when they hear it, they get very emotional. Even straight men cry, which I think is the highest compliment I could receive. I think
you
when
can
they
try hear... it out right now and see what happens.
Sure. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
All right. Well, this is what Barbara sang. She received the song 3 days before she was getting married and decided to sing it at her wedding reception. And I was absolutely stunned. And when I spoke to her after her honeymoon, I said, Barbara, how could you sing a brand new song on the biggest day of your life? And she paused and she said, well, you know, Anne, you really expressed exactly how I feel about James, and thank God you sang the song in my key. So it was my piano accompaniment on a recording that she sang to when she sang these words to James. I've dreamed of you, always feeling you were there, and all my life I have searched for you everywhere. Whisper on the breeze at night. I prayed one day that your arms would hold me tight. And just when I thought love had passed me by, we met. Look in your eyes, I can't forget. You melted me with your tender touch. I felt all fear and sorrow slip away. Now here we stand, hand in hand, this blessed day. I promise you, as I give to you my heart, that nothing in this world shall keep us apart.
I have to get the choke out of my throat.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Very sentimental guy over here.
Well, that's nice to hear.
And it's good. Also happens to be sort of pertinent in the moment.
Oh, really?
To myself.
How so?
We'll leave it at that.
Okay, good.
Ann Hampton Callaway live in our studio on FM 90.9. She and her sister Liz are going to be performing at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tonight through Friday. There's three shows. They're technically sold out, but some of the tickets have been turned back, so I'm told there are some openings for each evening for a 7:30 show. The program they're doing, they're calling Boom, and has to do with they'll be the recreating, I guess, songs from the 60s and 70s, hits by really well-known artists, including the Beatles, Carole King, we heard one earlier, Carly Simon, Stevie Wonder, and others. And we're very happy to have Ann Callaway in the studio with us right now. What appealed to you about the 60s, 70s? Why do a whole album of those songs?
Well, actually, Liz had been covering some of that material in her shows for the past few years, and I hadn't really. But I started delving into the music a little bit more because I've been really interested in the Great American Songbook. And most of the time when people say the Great American Songbook, they usually focus on the songs from the 1920s to maybe the 60s, up to the 60s. But I was interested in exploring the great songs of that time period. There's a lot of stuff that I don't really like. I don't like a lot of pop music. I don't like music that sounds like it's yelling at people. I find that very boring. But the poets of the time are, to me, worth exploring. I love taking songs that people have heard a million times and finding something new and fresh in them, rearranging them, finding a new musical vibe, a tempo. Or when I was recording Will You Love Me Tomorrow, Carole King was in the studio. She had heard Liz and me sing in L.A., and I invited her to my recording session, and she was weeping, and I was so incredibly honored because she said, I've never heard that song done slowly, and she said, I understand my own lyrics so much more, and I love having that challenge. So Liz and I had a great time getting to reminisce about our lives and the role that these songs played in our lives. And so the show is a lot of fun because we get to tell stories of annoying our parents in the backseat of our Thunderbird when we were going on family vacations and singing top 40 hits. And we recreate some of these moments in our lives. And there are some very poignant moments. I get to sing Blowin' in the Wind. And, you know, as I was a kid, our dad was a reporter for CBS and later on Channel 11, the PBS affiliate. And I felt extremely concerned about the civil rights movement, the war, were we going to blow ourselves up as a world? And I never could sleep. I always felt like, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to, the adults don't seem to be doing anything. What can we kids do? And so music became a really powerful expression and call to action. And I really felt that that was one of the only things that made people listen about to things that were important. And when you think about that time, people were writing songs about what mattered morally. These days, people don't have the courage to write protest songs. They're you know, being criticized by presidents and told they're going to be banned from shows if they say anything against the culture or, you know, the establishment. And so there was a lot of courage and a spirit of doing something that mattered. And I think that that's an important thing to revisit. We're going through challenging times now, and I think that some of these lyrics have a lot more depth to them now after all we've been through as a country and as a world.
And the show, you sort of implied it, you say, you're doing Blown in the Wind. You'll do some solo. She'll do some solo.
Right, and then we do a lot of duets. And also we encourage people, if they have a pair of bell bottoms or a mini skirt or a tie-dye T-shirt, it's fun when people get dressed up. And we like it to be sort of a happening. If there's something about the 60s and 70s that people have and like, it's nice to see people in the audience, you know, showing up with the vibe, too. We've had a lot of fun with our friends dressing up and, you know, getting all mod and festive.
Well, it doesn't actually say that. I'm looking at the what's on their website, and it doesn't say that in there. So if
yeah,
you're listening
no.
right now,
so
here's
if
your
you're
invitation.
Listening, it's a party. Come on.
At the Krannert Center tonight with Ann Hampton Callaway and Liz Callaway. Show called Boom. Is that because of the baby boomer?
Baby boomer.
Thing?
Yeah. And it's the baby boomer time, and it's a very large population of people who now look at this as nostalgia. To me, it's more of a heritage than nostalgia, but it is. It is interesting to see how many people relate to these, you know, stories of the past. And, you know, you hear all the, the laughs and the ways that people connect with this. So, and I think it's also fun for people to bring their kids because they get to be exposed to great songs that they don't necessarily hear on the radio.
And you indicated already that some of these songs were inspirational to you as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say percentage, but how many of your songs are written typically for you to sing versus for somebody else?
Usually when I write a song, it's something that just comes out of my heart, or it'll be inspired by something that happens or I read about or I hear about. I wish I had more situations where somebody called me up and said, I'm hiring you to, like Barbara with the wedding song, had found this beautiful melody by Rolf Loveland. And those were my words and his music. And, you know, of course, writing for the greatest singer alive today, in many people's minds, is an incredibly daunting challenge. And she is a perfectionist. And it's a great learning experience. I think I must have done about 150 rewrites for At the Same Time, which is a song I wrote, the first song that she recorded. And Liza Minnelli had sung it, and I had sung it, and it had been published in a book called Americans Write Gorbachev. When Reagan and Gorbachev were meeting for their first summit, I sent the song to many world leaders trying to make a difference. You know, it was my way of trying to inspire them to think about peace a little bit more carefully. And
Does anybody respond?
Actually, the funniest response was Governor Mario Cuomo from New York. He called me up when I was at the Fairmont Hotel singing. I don't know how he got my phone number. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm probably asleep for 3 hours because that's what divas do. We stay up late. And I hear this beautiful, low, deep, rich voice. Hello, is this Ann Hampton Calloway? And I said, yes. Did you write a song called At the Same Time? I said, yes. Did you send that song at the same time to Governor Mario Cuomo? Yes, I did. This is Governor Mario Cuomo. And he said he loved the song, and before he started his budget, he wanted me to know how much he loved it, and he wanted it to be the theme of the decade of the child. And, you know, I love getting to share the story because if there are writers or singers or people out there who think that nobody listens, I had an incredible amount of responses from people all over the world who wrote me back and thanked me for the song. And then later on, I got to sing the song for Gorbachev. It was published, the song was published in a book in Russia, and a woman called me from Boston and said, oh, I love that song you wrote. I was in this bookstore. I had no idea it was published. And then I started receiving letters from Russian people saying, oh, yes, we believe in this thought too. And so it's interesting when that song was originally written just from my heart, and then the moment I finished it, I knew Barbara Streisand had to be the singer. I didn't know that it would take 10 years to the date that I wrote it for her to record it. And I really do hope that I will have more chances to write for TV shows and movies and great singers. But most of the time I write songs from my heart. A lot of things from the difficult challenges we've been in, September 11th and the tsunami and Katrina and things like that. I feel like as an artist, I have a chance to make a difference. And so I feel a certain civic responsibility as an artist to address these challenges that we go through as people. And also a diva responsibility to help people's sex lives and love lives. You know, I think writing great love songs stirs up the embers and helps people get connected. I think romance is disappearing. And music is one of the greatest ways to connect people and bring them back to who they really are.
You used that term a couple of times now. I've seen it in, actually, it's on your website. I think it's part of your web
address. It's a tongue-in-cheek, yeah, the diva, yeah. The diva word, the D word.
So, yeah, so what is a diva in your
well,
mind?
I hope I'm not a diva. Usually diva refers to somebody who is from the classical field.
Exactly,
somebody
yeah.
who is a prima donna, who is very difficult and challenging. I think when I use the word diva, it's a tongue-in-cheek expression to include some of the agenda of the larger-than-life persona of somebody who's reaching out to many people through songs. And to do that, it sometimes is helpful to have the luster of the diva status it's like a costume. It's like an additional, it's like wearing false eyelashes to add to the excitement of a, and the power of a look or an energy. And I give people diva blessings who are single and bitter in my shows. And it's, you know, there's certain supernatural powers that we're born with. Now, Liz, as we've talked about it before, is very different. She calls herself the anti-diva. And so many people will probably prefer that way of life, but So we have fun trading off on those different perspectives.
So what is a diva blessing?
Well, would you like one?
Yeah,
would you
sure.
like a diva blessing? Is there any particular subject matter, or you just want it to be generalized?
It could be a generalized, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is the sound of most of my diva blessings. Diva blessings.
So you need a sitar with that.
Yeah, that's helpful. But usually the pianist and bass player and drummer do, you know, some wild Eastern sounding sound.
A little improvisation. How much of your shows are improvised, by the way?
Well, most of my shows I include an actual improvised song that the audience calls out words and phrases and I love in my Streisand tributes with some of the orchestras, I'll ask the audience to write a Streisand-esque song with me on the spot so that maybe Barbara will record it. And so I interview the audience about, you know, characters and storylines, and then we make up a Streisand-esque song, and it's very funny. But sometimes it's after September 11th, I created a spontaneous song circle, and about 100 of us gathered together in a room, and we sent blessings to the people who had died, and we just sang from our hearts, and we sang whatever we felt. There were no wrong notes, no wrong words, and it was an incredibly powerful experience.
So if you were going to create a song now, let's say I'm the sole audience.
You're the sole audience. Well, you are the sole audience.
Yeah,
yes.
I am. Actually, there's maybe about 7,000
people. Is there a subject you would want me to write about? Is there anything that you, a song, something that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. or a certain kind of storyline that would interest you, or a theme?
I like the idea of the interview. So if you were going to interview your audience, I'm your audience. How would you get ideas?
Okay. Well, are you willing to sing the answers if I interview you?
Oh, I don't know. Depends if you write them out.
No, I actually do this. I've done this with grade school kids, and I've sung questions. And if you're willing to just try a little bit, I think it'll be exciting for your listeners. Are you willing?
I bet it'd be exciting.
I'm putting you on the spot, aren't
you
I?
You are.
I'm the daughter of an interviewer, so.
It.
All right, I'm going to sing a question to you.
And do I have to sing the answer?
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah. Great. Swell.
When did you first know you loved music? Kevin,
probably when my mom first directed the choir at our church.
At your church, and you heard the voices singing, and look at you now. Interviewing divas on the radio.
And being forced to sing.
And being forced to sing. Thank you for being such an obedient king. What's your favorite part of this job?
Without question, talking to fascinating people like you.
What a great ending to this tune.
No, that's true.
Very good.
That's
very
true.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. No. I.
You're the first person who's ever interviewed me that I've done that with. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I've lost my.
Oh, how about that?
My singing an interview with an interviewer virginity.
Yeah. There we go.
The
I wonder where that was going to go. You know, there's a song that, let's remind people, for one thing, who we're talking to. Ann Hampton Calloway is live in our studio here on Live and Local. She's going to be joining Sister Liz Calloway in a show at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tonight, tomorrow, and Friday, 7:30 shows. It's called Boom, lots of songs from the 60s and 70s. That they do separately and together. And there are some tickets left. You can get hold of the Krannert Center. Go
to their
website.
Number there, by the way?
It's 217-333-6280. I hope I'm not giving out somebody else's phone number, but I think that's it. But you can check it at krannertcenter.com. The information is all up there. But there's a song that when I was poking around your own website, mm-hmm. that is there on one of the videos, that I just loved your delivery of it. It was with some jazz band and
the Barcelona Jazz Orchestra, yes. Yeah, I had a great time singing at Marciac with them.
called At Last. I don't even know who wrote that song.
That was written by Harry Warren. And a lot of people, when they think of the song At Last, they think Etta James wrote it. It was a great, great singer. But actually, it was written in the 30s by the great Harry Warren. And I think I'm the only singer who has ever recorded the verse. It's a beautiful verse. So would
As
you
opposed
like
to the chorus?
Just the chorus. Yeah, people just think the song starts with At Last. But would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would.
And this is also, I dedicate this to all the people, the Illini's and the Champaign-Urbana people who are still in the afterglow of Valentine's Day. I was never starbound by a starry sky. What is there to when love has passed you by? Then there came a midnight and the world was new. Now here I am, so spellbound, darling, not by stars, but just by you. At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over, and life is like a song. At last, the skies above are blue. My heart was wrapped in clover on the night I looked at you. I found a dream that I can speak to, a dream that I can call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to,
feel like we ought to be in an enormous theater with you belting that thing out of here. And it was in a tiny studio with a little clavinova. And,
yeah.
beautiful song, beautifully done. At Last, Ann Hampton Calloway, live in the studio. She's singing and playing the piano. She'll join Sister Liz Calloway at the Krannert Center for shows tonight, tomorrow, and Friday with songs... I guess, would you consider all the songs that you're doing from the 60s and 70s in this show worthy additions to the Great American Songbook?
I think so. Absolutely. I think it's a new book, and I think we can add new songs from this new century. There are people writing really beautiful, interesting songs for the theater, and I guess when you call it the Great American Songbook, who are the great storytellers? Who are the people who write songs that illumine the human heart, that tell the woes, the beauty, the heights, the lows, the that really have craft and an enduring, timeless quality to them. It's hard to say. It's so individual for people. But in my mind, these are songs that belong.
And, of course, the Great American Songbook, not being a book that actually exists on paper, can expand any time.
Right, yeah.
And I guess time is what tells whether a song belongs.
Absolutely, yeah.
And collective opinion.
Yeah, you know, I wonder when people are growing up listening to Justin Bieber and some of the people who are so revered, if those songs are going to endure and people are going to, oh, remember that song, or remember Kill the Cop, you know, oh, honey, remember. It's hard to imagine some of the songs I hear on the radio as being those kinds of songs. But, you know, it's a new generation, it's a new time, it's a new, people are going through new things, so maybe so. It's so personal.
And do you think that it's ever the delivery by some particular performer that puts the song into the songbook? You know, maybe it was,
yes,
it
absolutely
seemed like nothing and when so-and-so sang it, and then Sinatra,
oh,
whoever,
yeah,
got hold,
yeah,
of it, and then,
right, absolutely, when Sinatra put his voice, when Barbara Streisand put her voice on something, if she defined it. And the great singers sing these songs as if they wrote them. It sounds like it's just something that came to their mind, and they just have to sing those exact words, and that it's just occurring to them in that moment. That's what great singing is about. And Barbara was the first person to really teach me that, you know, she acted a song. She made it sound like she had just fallen in love. She had just met the man of her dreams, or he had just left her. And it felt so urgent and so important, and you waited on every single word what was going to happen next. And that's what Liz and I try to do. One of our favorite compliments when people come up to us after the show is, people will say, I don't think I ever heard those words before. When we do the Carly Simon song, That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be, people can't believe what an incredible lyric that is. And I think hearing us sing it, it just sort of gives it a new light, and we love sharing that with the audience.
Well, you can go hear the show. You got your choice of days. Check with the Krannert Center, because not very many tickets available. What is available has been turned back, I think. KrannertCenter.com, Ann Hampton Calloway and Liz Calloway. The show's called Boom. This is Live and Local, and we're very pleased to have Ann Calloway on the show with us right now. Our broadcast, by the way, made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Let's go out with a song that comes off their album called Boom, Live at Birdland. And remind me, who wrote These Boots Are Made for Walking?
I don't remember.
Really?
You stumped me. I should know. It's not a famous person.
Who performed it?
Nancy Sinatra. And then later on her dad, when he was singing for the troops.
Here we go. Ann Hampton Calloway, Liz Calloway, from Boom on Live and Local.
Yeah. Nice boots. For walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over.
Ann Hampton Calloway and Liz Calloway from their CD called Boom, Live at Birdland. They'll recreate that at the Krannert Center tonight through Friday. KrannertCenter.com for more information.
You're listening to 90.9 WILL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293A F. Danville NPR and classical music for Central Illinois.